We're not even to the end of January, and already 2023 is off to a very grim start. The new year brought 6 mass killings in the U.S. in fewer than 3 weeks, accounting for 39 deaths. And this is only the total as of this taping. By the time you see this, there may be more. The most shocking for us here locally, of course, was the shooting at a Monterey Park dance hall that's taken the lives of at least 11 people so far. It's been emotional. People are grieving. People are frightened. People want to help. We take a look at all of that. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. A tragic attack shook us all last week. It was Lunar New Year. It was a major festival for the Asian community. The attack took place in Monterey Park, a community that's about two-thirds Asian American. The gunman, also Asian American, apparently also attempted an attack in Alhambra, which also has a major Asian population. It's no wonder that the Asian American community has been shaken by these things, as in many cases, as all of us have as well. I want to bring in Christina Yang. She is the general counsel and pro bono director of Asian Americans Advancing Justice in Southern California. Good to see you, Christina. Thanks for joining us. And I guess, you know, to say it's been a rough week is an understatement, right?
Yes, and thank you so much, Hal, for having us today.
You're welcome. What can you tell us about the feelings that have been left in the community? Your organization is a community organization, a nonprofit. You're out there trying to provide support. You were immediately responding to this situation. Tell us a little bit about what you've been experiencing since this all happened over the weekend.
Absolutely, Hal. We are just absolutely shaken to our very core by this horrible tragedy out of Monterey Park. You know, many of us, I think, initially hearing about the incident were worried that it was another incident, a horrible tragedy like the one we saw out of Atlanta, where mostly AAPI women were killed in a horrible act of hate violence. And so that was immediately what flashed across everyone's minds, I think. And then next was, how can we help? How can we be of service to the community? So I think since the incident happened, we've really been focused on getting the word out about the resources we have available, connecting folks who were directly impacted, as well as community members who feel as shaken as we do about what we can provide for them.
What kind of resources are available out there? I'm sure there's social services, I'm sure there's medical services, food services. Give us a little list of what you are able to provide.
Yeah, we really would like to let folks know to call any of our 7 Asian language hotlines, or to call our English line as well if they are looking for support and resources in connection with what happened in Monterey Park. We're in the business of providing free legal services to the community, and that is something that we intend to do for folks related to this incident as well. We also want to connect folks to social services, like you mentioned, Hal, counseling, mental health supports, anything that can really help in that realm. We also launched a GoFundMe fundraiser in collaboration with other nonprofit community-serving organizations, philanthropy as well. And that has really taken a life of its own. We're really excited at how much support and a really heartwarming response from the broader community has come forward. And we're really excited to be able to help get those funds out directly 100% to victims and their families to help them moving forward.
You know, we just saw that message at the memorial, Dance in Heaven. There is so much poignancy about everything that's going on here. So many lives affected by this. And I don't know if you've known anybody personally who might have been affected by this. Have you?
I don't know anyone personally, thankfully, but certainly within 1 or 2 degrees, you know, friend of friend, et cetera. So it really does hit very close to home. And there are many people amongst my colleagues who either live in the San Gabriel Valley, grew up there, have family there. We're all, you know, certainly familiar with going there to eat, to shop. So I think it feels very personal for all of us, even if we don't actually know someone who was directly affected by the incident.
You know, we talked with some community members who were at the crime scene paying their respects, and their message, I think it's fair to say, was one of resilience. Here, take a listen.
I consider this just a horrible blip in the life of Monterey Park. We will rebound. This is going to remain a vibrant city for people to live and love and thrive.
Because of the love of the people here, I know that we will stand steadfast and we will move on. I mean, this is one of the safest neighborhoods in the country. And for this to happen means a big wake-up call for everyone.
A big wake-up call for everyone. And you've heard these messages probably resonating from a lot of different people, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, definitely, Hal. You know, I think the gentleman at the top who said, you know, we will come back from this, we are resilient. I see the unfortunately all too familiar hashtag Monterey Park Strong, you know, in line with other communities that have experienced gun violence in this kind of way. And I really do believe that the community is going to come back from this. And we really want to be there every step of the way to help that happen sooner rather than later as we continue to pick up the pieces.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because sometimes out of bad comes some good. And I'm kind of wondering what you think some of the good might be to come out of some of this awful.
Yeah, I think just hearing from community members who, you know, are not Asian or don't identify as AAPI coming and, you know, showing their support, you know, through the GoFundMe, for example, or sending messages of support, knowing that they are standing in solidarity with us and want to be good allies. You know, we've seen renewed interest in our bystander intervention training program, which we initially launched in response to the increase in anti-Asian hate about 2 years ago. And of course, you know, we want folks to intervene only when it's safe to do so. But it's certainly something that we think can help to really combat just, you know, microaggressions and casual racism or discrimination, which we really think when left unchecked can really lead to, you know, more severe incidents like the one that we saw happen this weekend. So we're really grateful for everyone who's willing to take concrete action in response.
I'm sort of wondering, you know, sometimes people are triggered by things they see on television. And I'm wondering if there are people in the community that have called you guys and said, you know, I need help. I've watched this. It's sent me right down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, I think, you know, if calling us and, you know, getting in touch with help and support is something that comes out of someone hearing about this incident, then that's wonderful. You know, I think in general, we really want to decrease any stigma that's attached to seeking mental health support and services. It's something that I think we who work in the community are aware is something that needs to be worked on. And so we really want to encourage folks to know that it's okay to reach out for help and to reach out for support and to know that you're not alone.
Let's talk about this GoFundMe one more time here, because I think mm-hmm. this is very important for people to be aware of. You had a goal of $500,000. You surpassed that. You've reset it. What's your goal now?
It's $750,000, though we're pretty close to surpassing that as well. So who knows? We really do want to keep momentum going. You know, of course, at this early stage, we don't know exactly what sort of financial hardship each family or individual is facing. So we really want to raise as much as we really can to help provide that support.
Of course. All right, Christina Yang, thank you. Thank you so very much. I again, to everybody at your organization, all the best. I'm sure it's been a very, very tough week for everybody. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we delve more into this tragic shooting attack and the way it's both shattered us and brought us together. We'll be right back. Yet another mass shooting has shattered our peace of mind. This one right here in our own neighborhood. Even people who had no involvement with any of the parties may be feeling the emotional strain. To talk about that, let's bring in Dr. Evita Limon Rocha. She is a Kaiser Permanente psychiatrist who works at the hospital with children and adolescents. Doctor, good to have you here. Thanks so much. You know, the fallout of this attack is not just on those who knew the victims, right? People can be traumatized even by watching the footage on television.
Definitely. And so that's why it's, I think in response to this, it's important to normalize that response, whether it be anger, sadness, shock, and really normalizing that it's that response to what's happened.
And besides working with children and adolescents, you work with adults, so you understand sort of the gamut here of people who might have seen something on TV, might have been in the area, might have lived in the community a block away. And I'm wondering what kinds of things that cross your mind when you have a mass shooting in a community that's as tight-knit as Monterey Park.
So one is important to create environments where we can discuss the events and discuss the emotional response that we've had to these events. So a space where we have the television off, telephone, social media is on hold, so that we can have a discussion and be able to discuss what did we kind of notice, what are we feeling? And then also it's important to limit time if we're noticing that these images are really distressing or kind of worsening or affecting how we're feeling. Maybe it's time to put a pause on viewing kind of any sort of images, but also being very cognizant of children and adolescents and those around us. Are these images appropriate, or are these images something that we should be watching together as a family?
You know, we have this thing called social media, right, that sort of gets in there everywhere. And you know, especially young people, that it's very difficult to get them away from the social media material. And you're going to see all kinds of things on there. And so when you see something that doesn't make you feel comfortable, you don't feel good about what you're looking at, what does one do themselves?
So important to take care of the basics. So in terms of sleep, especially after something so terrible has happened, it's so important to make sure that we're sleeping well. We're sleeping with our electronics off. We're kind of monitoring the environment that we're sleeping in, that we're following routines. That routine is so important. It offers a sense of security, a sense of stability. So it's important to maintain routines as possible, like kids going to school, and making sure that we're modeling also that display of emotions to kids so they can see it's okay and safe to demonstrate emotions. It's okay and safe to talk about what we're feeling.
You know, the emotions can range, I suppose, from fear to anger to helplessness, of course, grief. And oftentimes we don't even realize we're having those kinds of feelings, right?
Definitely. And that's why it's so important to have check-ins with ourselves as caregivers, as part of these different family units, community units, to check in within ourselves, how we're doing, how we're responding, because definitely we're all impacted by these tragedies and these events on kind of a level. All of us are, definitely.
How can you feel secure when you have a situation like this? I mean, how do you get yourself grounded?
So I would say that routine is very key and helpful in terms of helping that kind of sense of okay, I'm still going to school, I'm still going to work, we're still eating together as a family. Spending time together as a family is important, that togetherness to be able to process these events, and also together as a unit to foster that sense of closeness is important. And also being very cognizant as caregivers of those around us, whether that be kind of elderly individuals in our families, in our communities, and seeing their response to this event, making sure that they're processing, and also being cognizant if they are not and they're having difficulties being able to notice, to be able to engage them in mental health services or potentially a conversation with a primary care physician or provider.
All right. You know, there's so much to talk about here. And when we come back, you're going to stay with us, right? Because we're going to continue this conversation about Monterey Park, about what's gone on. with psychiatrist Dr. Evita Limon Rocha when we continue. You're watching Fox 11 News In Depth, all kinds of ways to cope. We'll be right back. We're back with Dr. Evita Limon Rocha, psychiatrist with Kaiser Permanente. Thanks for being with us. Let's talk a little bit about the impact on first responders and even journalists. Even us journalists that are out there face to face with these stories on a tragedy like this. What is your sense of, you know, how first responders deal with this? Because, you know, I know for me, and we're considered first responders, we do it, we absorb it, maybe we think about it later.
So it's important to check in with yourself in terms of seeing how you're doing, making sure that we're not turning towards substances like alcohol, and we're being very mindful that because that can impact our mood. It can have so many different effects on just trauma and as a whole. It can cause and other problems. So definitely being mindful of how we're processing trauma, how we're processing our emotions, and also being vigilant of those around us, like our colleagues, to say that if we're noticing that there's a change in terms of whether it be the work environment or the home environment, and advocating that maybe they consider kind of talking to their primary care physician or their internal medicine doctor and seeking kind of help, whether it be just a therapy appointment and talking and processing the event, or if they need more support than that.
Do you have anything anecdotally about first responders and how they deal with these incredibly traumatic situations?
So it's important to be able to process these events as they are able and provide kind of safe environments for these individuals, whether that be kind of in the work environment or working with a therapist or working with kind of an organization to process, but being able to process as needed is definitely can be very helpful.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that bothers us the most is not knowing, not understanding. The Monterey Park Police Chief put it pretty well. Take a listen.
We all want to find out why. We all want answers to questions that we may never have answers to.
So let me ask you, I mean, what do we do? How do we cope with the not knowing, the mystery, the confusion of basically human nature?
So I would describe that in terms of grief and that grief reaction, whether it be anger or kind of trying to figure out and explaining and having kind of a response to why did this happen? And I feel that that's part of that grieving of this very tragic event and that process of that grief.
This was just one of many violent incidents and even mass shootings around the U.S. just this week. Is it possible that the violence has a triggering effect on others who may then act out?
We have experienced lots of different traumas recently with the COVID pandemic, with a variety of tragedies, including this shooting and the more recent one as well. And so all of those events can definitely take a toll on each of us as a whole. And definitely we know that these events and tragedies can impact, although not directly involved, the communities as a whole, including kind of children and families in the community. And well, so...
Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. I was going to ask something else. Well, let me just go ahead and ask you. Well, what do you find your patients having the most trouble with? Is it generally sleep anxiety?
So definitely sleep can be impacted after a traumatic event. So that's why sleep is as much as we can doing things that are not impacting our sleep is important, like maybe minimizing the amount of caffeine that we're taking in because that can increase anxiety as well. Also being cognizant of the environment that we're in. Are we putting the technology off or are we continuing to look at images which can definitely impact mood, increase stress and make it difficult to fall asleep?
We saw a mother there in the video take a child to the makeshift memorial. How does one explain this to a child?
So we always want to have conversations that are age appropriate and also being mindful of developmentally where the child is at. And so for a teen, we're able to have a more in-depth conversation about the events. And then for a child, we definitely want to see kind of what their knowledge is, what their feelings are, and making sure that we're having the conversations in a way that are supportive, that they're able to speak kind of their feelings and able to kind of answer their questions as they bring them up. And so that's really, really important for, and then limiting the amount of images, making sure that they are age appropriate for that individual.
After the shooting, we talked to the man who's being called a hero. Brandon Say wrestled that gun away from the gunman when he walked into his family's dance hall in Alhambra. Take a listen.
I want everyone to focus on the victims of this tragic incident, not to draw too much attention to myself. I want everyone to have the attention needed during this incident.
You know, I've got a couple of questions about him. First of all, what an incredibly humble young man. I mean, you know, after getting the attention of all kinds of people all day long, being told by the sheriff, a personal visit from the governor, being called a hero, you know, his sister tells me he's very shy, very introverted. What does it take to bring somebody to a point where they can get the macho out of them to grab somebody who's got a gun pointed at them and try to wrestle that gun away?
So definitely bravery. So it's incredible and in terms of the bravery and he took that moment to and he saved many, many lives and definitely is a hero.
Definitely a hero. Definitely somebody who wants the attention, though, to be elsewhere on the victims and not so much on him. All right, very good. Doctor, thanks so much for being with us. Fox 11 News in Depth will continue right after this. And finally, if you haven't already, please check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News in Depth. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.